You're listening to Farmcast Radio.
Susan Turnquist is with the American Water Works Association Research Foundation, and she'll be one of the presenters at this year's Colorado Water Congress. Her presentation will be talking about what climate change could be doing to water supplies. And she told us what the American Water Works Association Research Foundation is doing to track those potential changes.
We're not that well known, but we have an impact on the lives of everybody in this country. Because we are the main research organization for the water utility industry. And we've been in existence for about 25 years. We've done over $400 million worth of research value. We've leveraged the funds that we get from our subscriptions from members with funds from partner organizations and sometimes with the utilities themselves. The AWWA Research Foundation is a member-supported, international, nonprofit organization that sponsors research that enables water utilities, public health agencies, and other professionals to provide safe and affordable drinking water to consumers. So we're based here in Denver, but as I said, we work internationally. Most of our member utilities are here in the U.S., but we also have members in France, United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, and Singapore.
Without going into tremendous detail, what are some of the different kinds of research studies you've done, groups you've worked with?
We're set up into four goal areas, and so these are the basic areas we do research in. One of them is water quality issues, and that includes water treatment. One is infrastructure, because there's a lot of things that are not known about corrosion and impacts of certain materials on water quality. A third area is management and customer service issues. And the fourth area is environmental leadership. So, for instance, one of our recent reports is called Regional Solutions to Water Supply Provision, which is a whole menu of ways that different water systems may collaborate with each other to solve problems that are difficult for either one of them on their own. Lately, we've been giving a lot of attention to climate change-related issues, because water supplies will be one of the very first things affected. In fact, they have been affected by climate change. There are other effects that are also present, that some of this is weather variation, but the long-term trends make it very clear that climate change will result in changes in the whole hydrological circulation around the globe. And that means water will be falling faster or earlier, or later, or not at all. And all of the infrastructure we've created to capture water for municipal purposes, all of that has to be reevaluated as to whether or not it's going to also work under these new hydrological conditions.
That's generally what your topic is going to be at the Colorado Water Congress. As you talk about how climate change would affect those things, the state of Colorado is very dependent, critically dependent on some of those areas. So tell me a little bit about how things could potentially change in the state of Colorado.
Well, one of the first things that everybody would recognize is the snowpack. If the snowpack melts earlier, then we don't have as much storage capacity to hold that. We rely on snowpack to store water for us, and this is up and down the whole Front Range. If that snow is melting earlier, we have to find other ways to capture that so that we have it available, especially towards the end of the summer when things get much drier. So right now, some of the Front Range water utilities are setting up a plan, a research plan, to collaborate in understanding what are the impacts on each of them in terms of maintaining a reliable water supply, and how can they cooperate, because they're all facing a very similar set of conditions. How can they cooperate to minimize the risk for all of them?
Well, the state of Colorado seems to be different than a lot of states with our water situation because of we are so heavily dependent on that snowpack. Tell me a little bit about how potential seasonal changes, the climate change concepts, some of those things that you're seeing, how are those things going to affect different parts of the country?
Well, they're probably going to have different effects in different parts of the country, and it's a little difficult to predict very specifically right now, very location specific. because the models that there's about, well, I can't remember, perhaps about 20 different models that have been developed to explain hydrological circulation around the globe. And they're not what we call, they're not granular enough yet. It's sort of like if you're looking at your computer on the screen and all you had were 15 pixels on the whole screen. You can't see anything with that at a very local level, but you can get a sense of things at a larger, higher level. They're trying to work with these models to get them to be more granular so that instead of 15 pixels, you have 500 pixels. And then you can see much more clearly what is predicted based on hydrological patterns over the oceans and things like that. In the meantime, since we don't have that local level look available yet, what utilities are doing around this country and in other parts of the world are what we call scenario analyses, where it's a little more seat of the pants. They cannot use the predictive models they've used in the past to make sure that they're going to have enough water when people need the water. So they're trying different strategies right now, and what we do at the AWR Research Foundation is we fund a lot of these projects that will help utilities around the world make better choices, at least within a range of a likelihood. You know, we want them to be ready for a range of possible outcomes, and that's called scenario analysis. So we're learning a lot from work that's been done in Australia. Australia has been in the grips of a severe drought now for a number of years. We're learning a lot on how they have responded to this. We're also finding, you know, for instance, in the southeast United States this year, there's been the worst drought, I think, in recorded history in Georgia. And they're finding in Georgia, Alabama, and Florida that they're sharing water, and it's much less water than they've traditionally had in the past, and they're trying to figure out how to deal with that because they haven't had to do that. You don't put a lot of effort into making water agreements when there's always plenty of water. It's not worth the time or energy. But now they're finding they have to do that. So some of the research we do is helping them with those decisions that they have to be making about things.
So while at this point for states, for municipalities, for different utility groups, it's difficult to make concrete changes, it seems like it's very important for these groups to begin plans and preparations because it's going to take time to work through any of these processes.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm speaking for water utilities, of course, the drinking water utilities, but when they are investing in new infrastructure to meet the demands of growing populations, but also now to be able to prepare for the uncertainties of climate change, that's going to cost a fair amount of money, and they plan for a 50 to 75 or 100 year time frame. So the infrastructure they invest in now should be continuing to help meet needs 50 years from now or 100 years from now. And so that's why they're quite concerned to be able to make the best decisions they can. They don't want to overspend or underspend. They want to make sure that they are giving the best value to their customers, but also being as reliable, having as reliable a water supply as they can manage to do.
Well, and lastly, you talked about storage earlier. I know as states, Colorado in particular, has had challenges trying to figure out how to handle storage, where to do that, and it's not an easy process to undertake finding locations to do those kinds of things. Do you see that as becoming more of a priority, almost a critical priority here over the next 10, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, I think storage will be an issue. There's a lot of different options for storage, and some of the options that are being explored are storage underground, being able to put water into the ground and in a way that it can be retrieved later on when it's needed. In that way, you reduce the evaporation losses and things like that. Evaporation losses are expected to increase if temperatures increase on a steady basis, so that it really is climate change and not simply, oh, we have a hot year this year. If every year is getting hot, more water evaporates and there's less available. So underground storage is one of the ways that that we might use to deal with that. But there's a range of strategies that can be used. And as the research, the AY Research Foundation, one of the things we do in the research is look around the world, as well as here in the U.S., for things that some utilities have already started to do. And we, the researchers will assess that, look at the pros, cons, costs, benefits, and then we write that up so it's available to everybody.
That's Susan Turnquist with the American Water Works Association Research Foundation, their website, awwarf.org. Coming up next, we'll hear from Colorado Farm Bureau President Alan Fouts on his talk at the Colorado Water Congress on the changing economic climate for agriculture in Colorado.
We'll be back to Farmcast Radio after these messages. To find out more about Farmcast Radio and listen to audio online, visit farmcastradio.com.
What in the world do a bunch of farmers know about running a bank?
Well, they know an awful lot about farming and what it takes to make an operation successful.
They know how to look you in the eye and give you a straight answer. They know their word is their bond.
They know what it's like to walk in your shoes because they do it every day.
There are a lot of banks out there, but there's only one First Farm Bank.
And that you can bank on.
First Farm Bank in Greeley, member FDIC.
FarmInsure is planting the seeds for safer farming operations in Colorado. FarmInsure was organized in 2004 to make producers safer while lowering their insurance costs. FarmInsure provides discounted rates, safety incentives, and there's a potential for dividends when the group has a safe year. Safety materials and on-site visits are available to help keep your operation safe. Safety seminars are provided at several area trade shows throughout the state. To keep your farming operation safer, call Colorado Corn at 970-351-8201.